the thought process behind why the Beatitudes. I wanted to go to the Exodus, but God had different plans for my thought process. We spent time earlier this year going through, or earlier last fall actually, going through our vision statement to love God, to love others, and to serve our city. We kind of hashed that out. And then we spent some time in 1 Peter talking about what it means to apply yourself as a Christian, how to live out Christian life and do things the way God wants things done and not the way the world wants things done. Well, what's our attitude when we're doing those things? You know, do we realize because of our salvation, we are really blessed in God? Sometimes we forget that. We get caught up in the prosperity gospel idea where it's like, hey, if we're blessed, that means we're getting things. We're getting money. We're getting good jobs. Everything's great. You know, I've met a lot of people that only come to church when things are going well because they feel blessed. I don't understand that. Because the greatest thing that has been given to us is new life in Christ. We've been given a new life. Well, I think the Beatitudes come into and it show us how to be full in an empty world. A lot of the thoughts and the process going on in our world today really leave people empty. They strive for big things, for the most money, the most toys, if you will. And really, at the end of the day, enough still isn't enough. Jesus satisfies. The world is walking around trying to figure out what does it mean to be truly happy. I think there's a lot of Christians walking around going, what does it mean to be truly happy? Everybody longs for happiness. But sadly, we see it repeated over and over again, and they ended up worse and in more misery than when they started off. Church, we have the key to happiness. And that happiness is Jesus Christ. That is the key. We hold it in our hearts, in our hands, in our words, in our behavior. The message of new life and a transformation from Jesus. So we're going to take a look at Jesus' prescription, or maybe you could say it. Can say it that way, but pretty much, church, we're going to go over the Beatitudes, and we're going to look at what it means to be truly blessed in the salvation of Jesus. So let's read the Beatitudes, kind of a little introduction sermon this week, and then next week we will get into them and bust them each down verse by verse. We kind of like doing that sometimes, don't we? Starting here with Matthew 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we can gather here as a family, that we can just hear the words that you gave us just read out loud. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the truth. And we thank you for, most importantly, the new life that we have because of your Son. He became our sin, and we became his righteousness. Thank you for that transformation. It's in your name I pray. So I have a few little tidbits on an introduction to the Beatitudes. The first one is, the Beatitudes, this is for the church. These 12 verses are for the church. They're for His people. This is not just for a selected few. This is not for some exceptional Christians. Sometimes in church life, we put categories. Well, he's the pastor. He has an exceptional faith. They're elders. They're extraordinary. Deacons, they're super. I'm just a Christian. We're all the same. We're all on the same level. Some are gifted differently. Some are gifted with gifts of teaching and preaching and evangelism and administration, and some aren't. But you know what? It's the same blood that covers all of our sins. Jesus meant the Beatitudes for the church. He has blessed us with eternal life. He has blessed us with new life. You have to believe that. You have to live in that. And you have to get up in the morning thinking about that. If not, where's your hope? Where's your hope? We walk around defeated. You know, the world will not win. Satan and his desires will not win. Did you see my language there? I didn't say might not win. It's over. The fight's been won. Jesus came back from the dead. Oh, death, where is your... That means something to us. Because when we die as Christians, we get to go where? Eternity with Jesus. Do you think about that daily? Do you think about that? You can be blessed whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a praise band member, the secretary, whatever. You can be blessed in the new life of Christ, and you can live in it. We are called to be saints and to be blessed in this way. The Beatitudes are a description of character. It's who we are. It's not an office. It's not a talent. It is our character. The Bible talks about different offices. I mentioned this earlier. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to help edify the church, to encourage the church to keep moving forward. We're all one body with different parts. But this has nothing to do with blessing. God blesses a character, not an office. We are called to be examples of all of these and have all of these character attitudes show up in our life. Number two is just that. Jesus expects us to display or manifest all of these characteristics. It's not you pick one and be like that. Today I'm going to be a peacemaker. Tomorrow I'm going to thirst for righteousness. They all go together. It's a picture of what a Christian is supposed to be. It's something that if we haven't developed that, we need to recognize that in our life and develop that. Pray that that will be manifest in our life. Pray that that will be displayed. It's kind of like the fruits of the Spirit. You're not just to have one fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22. You are to display all of those aspects of the fruit. Sometimes we do display one or more. It doesn't mean the other ones are gone. In fact, you can't divide some of these up. You can't have self-control and not have love. You can't have joy and not have kindness. They all are interwoven together. They all make up the DNA of the church. They're our attitudes. And they call us blessed because we have these. God expects us to become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13, to be fully Christ-like, if you will. We don't wake up in the morning and go, today I'm going to put on the work hat. I'm going to go to work and I'm going to work. That's who I'm going to be. And then on Sundays, you put on the Jesus hat and the church hat, and you go to church and you be the churchiest person you can be. And then you go home, you take it off, put the football hat on, and you watch football or the camper hat or whatever hat you put on. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to be Christians first, everything else second. I call it vocational Christianity. Everything else is just where we go and what we do. It is our mission. Let me tell you, if these attitudes, verses 1 through 12, aren't displayed, our witness is going to be heard. I think that this is very achievable. This is what God does. God tells us we're sinners, tells us that there isn't anybody righteous, and what does he do? He provides a way through Christ. He gives us this. Well, these Beatitudes, the fruits of the Spirit, the Beatitudes, and he says, be like this. And you hear things like, be holy because I'm holy. I don't know about you, but I sit there and go, how can I be like God? Have you ever thought that? Well, I think if God says it, it's achievable. And you know how it's achievable? It's achievable through his Spirit. You read the Scriptures. You listen to the Scriptures. You follow the Scriptures. You memorize the Scripture. You know what? It pretty soon becomes your life. It's that transformation that happens. In youth group this week, we were talking about, well, it was a Francis Chan video from the book Crazy Love, and he was talking about being lukewarm. And he was talking about baptisms that happen on the other side of the world compared to baptisms that happen today. He had a pastor come back from Iraq, and they were talking about it, and he says what we call sanctification, what we call growing and maturing in Christ. So we come out of the water and we begin to grow and mature in Christ. This pastor says on the other side of the world, those are prerequisites for baptism. Because when you come up out of the water and you identify with Christ, and you say, I am new, I am transformed, you can lose your job. You can lose your family. You can lose your house. You can lose your life. It has been thought out. Here in America, I think what we do is we look at something like this list, and we go, I want to be like that someday. But then we put in the background, it's never going to happen. And we're okay with that. So what we do is we start putting rules on things. Well, I want to be a peacemaker, so I'm not going to cause any conflict. I want to be self-controlled, so I'm not going to open my mouth. I want to be more in love with the Scripture, so I'm just going to read, and not listen to anybody else. We become very legalistic in our attitude. And pretty soon the fruit falls away from our life. These characteristics fall away. And church, that's not the way we do it. We're called to grow. If you are the same today as the day you came out of the water of baptism, there is something wrong. And for a lot of time in our churches, we want to blame the pastor or the elder or the program or the worship service or the music or whatever. And you know what? On the day of judgment, here comes that hellfire and brimstone time. On the day of judgment, you're standing before God. Guess what you're going to be doing? You're not going to be standing with your pastor. You're not going to be standing with your elders. You're not going to talk about your music. You're not going to talk about what version of the Bible you use. If you had pants on, a dress on, a hair in a bun, earrings, tattoos, no. You're going to stand there face to face with God. He's going to go, where are you from? Where are you from? Let me tell you, church. The Beatitudes are things that we can do. Things not only that we can do, it's things that we are. You know why? Because they were things that Christ was and is. And he says, be like me. Follow my example. What does that do? It brings people to him. It brings people to him. It transforms not only us, but it transforms the world around us. Because we long to see the world come to Christ. That's why we mourn. Man, have you ever just looked around and saw the world, and you know the world's going straight to hell? Does that break your heart? I mean, really, does it break your heart? I mean, there's some days that people come talk to me, and there's not a thing I can do for them. But pray. It breaks my heart. Because until they know who Jesus is, there's no way that they're going to get out of the mess they're in. Example number one. Just a month and a half ago, right before Christmas. Is that a month and a half ago? Maybe 2 months. Sorry. I'm getting older. I lose track of time. I got a phone call. It was somebody needing some food. So I took them some food. I got to their house. It was a mom, two kids. Dad had left, cleaned out the bank account. We've heard the story over and over. I get in there, I take the food in, and she goes, hey, what's this for? I go, well, you called me. Oh, we talked on the phone? I go, yeah. She goes, well, you can just set that down and you can go to the bedroom. Like, thinking to myself, the bedroom? What? So I just kind of stood there because I didn't know what to do. And she goes, what are you still doing here? I go, well, I have these groceries for you. She goes, just put them down and just go back there. I'm like, do you need something fixed back there? What do you need back there? She goes, don't you want sex? Yeah, just as naive as I was, aren't you? I go, I'm a pastor at a church. And she goes, well, yeah, I know. We got to hurry up. My kids are going to be coming home soon. That broke my heart. Because obviously other pastors have taken her groceries and got a little something on the side to pay for those groceries. And then at that moment, two preteen girls walked in off the bus and kind of looked at me and looked at her mom, and their hearts just broke. Well, what I did was I invited them. That breaks my heart. You know, it's kind of a funny situation to be in, but the more and more that I'm in ministry, the more and more I'm in those situations. And I think back to the Beatitudes, and I think, that breaks my heart. Because I love these people. That's why I do what I do. But they don't even know what love is. They don't even know what self-control is. I understand we get desperate and things happen. Why aren't they coming to the church more and more so we can help them and teach them and spread the gospel? You know? It was really weird because the house was a normal house on a normal street in Sioux City. It wasn't in a bad neighborhood. It wasn't anywhere else. Had a minivan out front. I'm sure the kids played sports. She hauled them places. Middle class. You would never would have known. Church, if we don't have the Beatitudes, situations like that are going to overcome us in this world. If we don't know Scripture and know Jesus and want to be more like Him, the world's going to overcome us. And we're going to start to compartmentalize. We're going to put, well, this is my job. This is my home. It's Sunday, so I go to church. It's Monday, so I go back to school. I go back to work. It's Tuesday. It's the voice day. It's small group day. And you start to compartmentalize. And we're not called to do that. We're called to be Christians all the time. Beatitudes all the time. Love, search all the time. And we can become like this. We can attain this. If you're truly following Christ. Back to my original point, I can't do it. I can stand up here all day, throw a podium, yell at you, have a tie on, a suit on, have a tie that lights up. It's not going to make any difference if you're not going to take this home and fall more in love with Jesus, to become more Christ-like. You see, we need to grow in all of them. The qualities are interlinked, and without them, you can't have the others. You can't truly mourn over sin if you don't know what righteousness is. And if you don't hunger and thirst for it. Number three, none of these descriptions are what we may call human tendencies. You just don't decide to do these. They're all counter-cultural. These aren't moral pursuits. And in fact, if you're going to try to compare yourself to the world and to be a good person, this list and these 12 verses are not going to show up. These are spiritual qualities that are given from God, and they're not learned. You don't just go take a class on how to mourn because of sin. The Holy Spirit breaks your heart. You don't just wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to take a class on how to read the Bible for all it's worth. You can take that class, and I have sat in class with people that had that attitude, and they left that class with an A, but they did not, and still cannot to this day, read the Bible for all it's worth. You know why? Because they're not reading their Bible. They're watching a podcast, or they're listening to a TV personality, or just relying on the faith of their pastor. No man naturally conforms to the descriptions given in the Beatitudes. It's part of a new creation. It's part of the transformation that comes at our redemption, at our justification. These are characteristics can only be made possible in our lives because of God. It's part of that indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit that Acts 2:38 talks about. It is by God's grace that we can grow and that we can be like this. This also means that it is possible for us all to display these characteristics regardless of our personality or our temperament. Kelly, I can never be self-controlled. I just fly off the handle whenever. No, Jesus says you can. Jesus says you can. Number four today, the Beatitudes set a different worldview from the world. We wake up, and as Christians, we just see the world different. And if you're looking through these Beatitudes, and when you pick up a newspaper, when you listen to the news, it's really depressing. Really depressing. Because we don't see things the way the world does. You know, the world worships in big stadiums on Sunday. The world worships by putting their money in the biggest car, the coolest motorcycle, the best looking wife, the best job, the most successful husband. That's what the world says. We put our hope and our life in the hands of Christ. Take a quick glance at the list. The expressions poor in spirit, mourn, meek, merciful seem more like a description of someone who is a weakling than someone that is strong. But really, to live like this and be like this, you're strong, all right, but you're weak in the world's eyes. The world seeks a man of strength, of confidence, a man in charge, a fighter. Billy Graham, we all know who Billy Graham is, put the Beatitudes this way. Maybe you've heard this before. It's from his book, In the Secret of Happiness. Happy are the clever, for they shall inherit the admiration of their friends. Happy are the aggressive, for they shall inherit property. Happy are the talented, for they shall inherit a career. Happy are the rich, for they shall inherit a world of friends and a house full of modern gadgets. This is the kind of person that the world admires. The Beatitudes paint a different picture. It's almost a contrasting picture. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not wealth, money, status, position, or popularity. Blessing has nothing to do with the health and wealth or the status of your fame. The non-Christian can only live for this world. He says, this is the only world, and I'm going to get what I'm going to get until I die. The Christian says, I am not living for this world. Our whole outlook on life is different. When we hear court cases about abortion, about same-sex marriage, all those things, we hear the world shifting in a different way. And you know what? It breaks our hearts. At least it should. I started listening to a podcast every morning. It's about 15 minutes long, which is the best kind of podcast. And it's by the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and he does a newscast where he goes through headlines. He talks about the world from a Christian point of view. And just hearing the news from this godly man, hear him talk about what this means to the Christian life in the last year, I haven't even thought about that. And it opens my eyes to what's really going on. Sometimes we get caught in our little world, but when we hear news like InterVarsity Press being kicked off campus because they won't let their doctrine run who they hire or fire or whatever, and you hear that case go to court, and that district of judges come back and said it's freedom of religion that allows them to hire and fire based upon their doctrine, and they're reinstated. That's a blessing. That's an awesome victory, but nobody hears that because it's buried by all the other junk going on, like the fancy chefs learning how to use marijuana in their food so they can sell these edible marijuana things, which is plastered all over most major newspapers. Hope that breaks your heart. Because it's funny to me sometimes, too. Because if we get bogged down by secular media and secular news without running it through a filter, you know what's going to happen? You want to know what's going to happen? We're going to get depressed and we're going to give up. Church, I'm here today to say, don't give up. Don't give up. Learn these things. Read your scripture. This week, go home and read over those 12 verses, the first 12 verses of Matthew 5. And you'll see that it is clear that we have been called to be different from the rest. We are called to live in a different way. And in the book of 1 Peter, verse 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may do what? Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. And the Bible goes together so beautifully, doesn't it? I mean, Peter is just saying the Beatitudes in a different way. Live a life for Christ because you are different. You've been chosen from God. You have been set apart. You are princesses and princes of the King. You're children of God. You are different. There's a distinction between Christian and non-Christian, isn't there? It has nothing to do with clothes, haircuts, anything. You know what it has to do with? Your heart condition. Your heart condition. So let me ask you, how is your heart today? Are you in the world and not of the world? Because the Bible makes it clear that there is two absolutely different worlds. Our conduct, our attitude is paramount in reaching the world for Christ. Listen to John, starting with chapter 17, starting with verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be the one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the whole world know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus said this, and he said that the world may believe in you. The world may believe. The world may believe. Say that again. That the world may believe. That's a sense of urgency. We get caught up in other things, and the urgency goes out the window. We get caught up in the wrong stuff, and the most important thing goes away. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one. What's the old hymn say? I'll know we're Christians by our bickering, by our love, by our love. 8 qualities in the Beatitudes, and they come together and they define the life of a Christian. That's a pretty bold statement, ain't it? Can't get mad at me. That's Matthew. We're to grow and manifest in all of them. Not by our own will, but by the grace of God. And we're to live differently in this world. Church, that's my prayer for you, and I hope that's your prayer for me. That we can be different and live different. Begin to study this with me. Begin to have conversations in your small groups, in your free time with other Christians, to talk about these things, to hold each other accountable in these things. Because we have to make it our ambition to become more Christ-like and to live in these qualities. I don't know where you are today with Jesus. I don't know how things in your life are. I hope everything's going well. But today, if you need to make a decision to commit your life again to Christ, I invite you to come. If you want to make that first-time decision, I invite you to come. Don't waste any other opportunities. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the Beatitudes, and I'm kind of excited about studying these and learning more about them and seeing lives transform, Father. For when we accepted who you are and then the grace touched us, you changed us by justifying us and by redeeming us and setting us free. And Father, I thank you for that, and I ask you to continue to manifest these qualities in us. Allow the world to see that we live different and we stand different, and that the urgency of our message, which is Jesus, your Son, is the most important thing in our priority list. Father, allow us to be wherever we are, be yours first. Let the world be second. Today, let's make a stand. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning.